بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A woman that is married leaves her home, takes up the residence of her husband, then she can choose to have her own ways, and she may prefer the ways of the husband. She can also say that I'm not indebted to you, I'm the boss of my own, I can manage my own affairs, so you don't have to rule my life, don't have to influence me, and don't tell me what to do. I'll do my thing and you do yours. So this is the one way that that woman can adopt. And the other method is, from the day she is married, she says, well, this man has come into my life and he has a degree of superiority over me. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Allah Ta'ala has made him and appointed him as a leader over me. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ. So from now onwards, I will conform with his ways. As he says, as he instructs, as he guides me, then I will go that way. I will try my best not to run my own ways, not to have my own ways. Wherever possible, I will try and blend in with his ways. I will adjust to his likes. I will try and mold my whole life according to his desire. So this woman here, the second woman, her whole outlook is different. The first woman's outlook is totally different. There's going to be a constant struggle, there's going to be a battle. Naturally, man has been made in such a way that he wants to make the decisions. He wants to say what must happen and what mustn't happen. He doesn't want to be influenced, rather he wants to influence. He doesn't want to be told what to do, but he wants to tell. So that is man, that is natural in him. He is born in that way. You can't reverse this. Like that lion has got a certain position and the lioness has got a certain position, and each respects their positions. The lioness will treat the lion as the head of the whole herd, right? And in all animals you'll find fowls, and the rooster is the head, right? You won't find that the hen is giving the lead and the hen is guiding the whole flock. You won't find that. That rooster is giving the lead, he's making the intizam, he's making the arrangements, we're going here, he will give the lead and the rest of the flock will follow. Right. So man is created naturally in this way, that he wants to lead, he wants to make decisions, and he must be in control. Then you will find that there is some harmony and there is some understanding, there is some type of peace that is prevailing. But if it is the other way, then you will find each coming day, every situation is a problem. I want this and you don't want this. Do this and don't do this. I remember around the 1950s, 40s or 50s, someone was showing me an article when this remote disc started off. 50s or 60s, I can't remember exactly. And there was a divorce case somewhere in America. What happened? Both the husband and the wife were sitting before the TV. and they had that remote, and the husband said something, switch off the light or whatever, and the wife said, well, you do it yourself. And over this there was an argument and the house broke. So whether it is a Muslim home or a non-Muslim home, and if that woman doesn't want to subdue herself, she doesn't want to subject herself, then there's going to be an ongoing problem. And where the woman says, alright, now that I've married, now I'll subdue myself, he's stronger in emotions, he's stronger in his spirit, he's stronger in his might and strength, he's stronger in his reasoning and in his ability to cope with stress, he is greater than me, so let him take the decision. So for a short period perhaps she may go through some difficulty that everything I must listen to him. Whatever he says, I must listen to that. So for some period, for a year or 2 years or 3 years, she may go through some difficulty. But after that, her life will be very, very relaxed, very easy, and there will be a lot of harmony in that life. Because she knows that this is the rule of the game, and I must go by this. So it will take about 2 or 3 years for her to settle in to that new rule. Once she settled in, now that life is enjoyable, it's manageable. In fact, then you will find that the husband will say, alright, what do you want? How should we do it? He will ask her for suggestions because he knows at the back of his mind that this woman respects me. So he will ask her for suggestions how to make this life enjoyable, more pleasant and more comfortable. He will ask her. But at the beginning, she will have to give that type of sacrifice from her side. She'll have to undergo that little bit of difficulty. Eventually you'll find everything is just curring favor with her. Right? So the same with the itaat and the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Man comes into this earth, one way he can choose a life is he says, well, I'm the boss of my own. I earn my own living, I sweat for an earning, I do my own things, so I don't want anybody to influence my decisions. Let me be independent in my decisions. I can do as I want to. So this is one frame of mind. Now in that frame of mind, what will happen is he comes to a point where he challenges Allah Ta'ala. So, well, I can do my own thing. Why must I subdue? Why must I subject myself? I can do my own thing. Namaz, no namaz, well, that's my decision. How I run my life, how I design my home, that is my decision. What work I do, what work I don't do, that's my decision. So now he's gone and he started off on a wrong footing. The footing that he has started off, he's actually challenging Allah Ta'ala. Now when he's challenging Allah Ta'ala, then he's going to have an uphill, he's going to have a problem all the way, right through he's going to have an uphill. Because overall, this whole place is Allah Ta'ala's. We are here not even on rental. See, someone is here on rental, he's a tenant, so he's doing the landlord, he's doing his landlord some good, some ihsan, that at the end of the month he's paying the rental. Here, there's no such a question of lesser and lesser, lessee and lesser, there's no such a question. It's not any favor that we are doing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to live here. He is not collecting a rent from us. He has not made us the owner of this place. جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. Several places in the Quran Sharif. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. Right? He's appointed you as the deputy to set up the affairs there. Right? So it's not yours. You're not a lesser, nor is it yours. It is just permission from Allah Ta'ala given to you that you can have the use of this. It's my car, you can use it. It's my home, you can take the use of my home. It's my shop, for example, you can use it for a year, 2 years, for some duration, some period of time, you can use it. So if that individual feels that it is his, if he feels that it is his, and he can do what he pleases, nobody can influence him, nobody can decide, then he will have difficulties all the way. All the way he's going to have difficulty. He's going to have problems. In every step that he takes, he's going to have difficulty. He can't go up. Allah Pak says it very clearly, very boldly. Allah Pak says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. All belongs to me. Heavens and the earth, all, everything belongs to me. Whatever you can see. All the universe, the skies, the earth, everything that is in between, everything belongs to me. And it's under my control. It's under my direct control. Jami'an mean everything is under my control. So it's, when it's my control, it belongs to me, nobody can influence my decision, then the right way for you is to conform to what I say, to my desires, my ways. When you conform to what I say, then I will subject everything to your desire. Okay? I will subject it to you. Everything I will subject to you. The reins I will give it to you. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْأَرْضَ وَاتَّقَوْا وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the earth, they only believe and they practice taqwa, restrain, leave out those things that are not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they leave it out. آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then we will open up all the blessings of the earth and the skies. Everything will open up to them. Everything is working out for them. And overall, they have the happiness and the satisfaction of the mind, the ease of the heart, they have it. But that is, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا. You follow these conditions. Everything has a procedure. You follow the procedure, you come right. I tell you that namaz is a key to your success. But there is a procedure for namaz. Now someone doesn't follow the procedure. No wuzu is making. His clothes are napak. But the place that he's performing namaz is napak. Or his body is napak. Or he's not facing towards the qibla. And now he wants to know, why is it my namaz is not getting answered? Why do you say that my namaz is not valid? So the simple answer is, you're not following procedure. There is a procedure that you need to follow. You follow the procedure, you will see that your namaz is valid. Your namaz is materializing, is being productive, it's taking out, you're seeing the production in your namaz. You're seeing the good coming out of your namaz. But you're not following the procedure, and then you want your namaz to materialize, you want it to produce, you want it to be productive, then how it is to be? How it is going to be producing? How is it going to materialize any good? Not good. You're not following the procedure. So the same here, when Allah Pak is saying this to us repeatedly, that everything belongs to me, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, every single thing, ma, to show ta'meem, and to emphasize that everything, no exception, without any exception, everything belongs to me, big or small, mighty or weak, whatever it may be, how huge or how small it may be, how great and how dynamic it may be or how weak it may be, everything belongs to me. Whoever it may be animals, it may be whatever. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. Everything has to subject itself. Everything. Men, animals, the skies, the earth, the trees, the vegetation, everything. Everything subjects itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when everything is required to subject himself, everything does subject itself, man has been given a little bit of choice as compared to other creations. Other creations don't have a choice of their own, right? You will see a tree doesn't have a choice of its own. It can't move about. Can it move around? Can't move around. A cloud cannot move of its own. It's got an itinerary it has to follow. This is the itinerary that you follow, and that's it. You can't move to the right, you can't move to the left. You can't have your own free movement. It's my movement, it's our movement. You will be loaded here. You will be loaded here in Africa, but you will be moving on to Australia, you will be moving on to India, wherever. We'll load you here, but you move on. You don't have the movement of your own. You don't have the choice of your own. We will decide where you need to move, how you need to move, and where you need to pour yourself. That we will decide. So, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala repeats this verse. All belong to me, everything belongs to me. So, tumhari afiyat or tumhari khair isi mein hai. Your good and your ease, your comfort, your progress is in this. And you just conform to what I say. آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We'll open up everything for you. Things are working out for you now, but you listen to us. You see that the wife is also listening. You see thereafter that things are working out for you. Your shop is working out for you. Your factory is working out. Everything is working out for you. But then the primary condition is that you conform to what we have to say. You agree to what we have to say. You don't go and challenge us. You don't go and confront us. It belongs to us. We have given you a little bit of choice. And the choice doesn't mean that you were out of control. We have given it because of our own wisdom. We have given you a little bit of choice, a little bit of volition. Just to see now, how are you going to use yourself? A man takes out a few sweets and he gives it to his small son. One son he gives 20 sweets and one son he gives 2 sweets. But he's standing on the far end and he's observing that this one that has been blessed with 20 sweets, how is he conduct himself? How is he going to conduct himself with his other younger brother? Is he going to show attitude to his brother? Is he going to have a boastful attitude? Is he going to act arrogantly, or he will take him under his covers? You know, brother, you're my brother, and I've been blessed a little bit more than you have been blessed. Whatever, father has given me a little bit more. Now mind, you also share from me. You take, you're my brother. We aren't any foreigners. We aren't strangers to each other. You are my brother. So the father will be pleased. But if this person who's been blessed, this youngster, this child that has been blessed a little bit more, he shows attitude to his child. What are you? You scrap. The father didn't give anything. I've got all this. You see, I got it. You haven't got it. I've got 20. You got only 1. You got only 2. You got nothing. So now what will happen? The father is observing what's happening. He is the giver. He is the provider. So he is watching. He is observing what's happening. Then the little comfort that he's given, he will just now take back. He'll cut off all his comforts. Now this is where our minds cut off. We feel, no, I work for it, I strive for it, and it is my hard work, therefore I am entitled to it, so nobody must come and influence me, nobody must decide for me what I must do. So the first way was, أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. Allah Ta'ala, the provider, the giver, was good towards me, so my duty is to be good to his bondsman. Allah Ta'ala had blessed me, he had blessed me with better understanding, with a better reasoning power, with a better management skill. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. So Allah Ta'ala has granted it to me. It wasn't of my own. But when He granted me little more, He blessed me a little bit more, then what is my duty? What is my obligation? My obligation from now onwards is to be kinder, more kind, more compassionate. As the blessings increase, as the power and authority increase, then the kindness and compassion should also increase proportionately. The one that hasn't got much, and if he isn't so kind and compassionate, alright, we understand. He's supposed to be kind as well. But the one who's been blessed with so much of comforts, is blessed with so much of blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is not kind, he's not compassionate, he's not lenient, he's not soft, then he's asking for trouble. Then who has given it? Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. You be kind in the manner Allah ta'ala has been kind to you. You be show compassion in the way Allah Ta'ala has shown compassion to you. If that is going to not rule your life and you have it this way, أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي, I've got it of my own skill, I've got it of my own labor, I've got it of my own sweat, then Allah Ta'ala is not happy with this. He doesn't like this type of statements. He doesn't like this. Because yeh toh khuda ko bhool karke baat karni hai. This is talking after forgetting the provider. The provider has been forgotten and you are talking in this way. Wealth is one thing. Apart from wealth, everything else, every other blessing. someone has been given more power, strength for example, he can think and he can reason better, he's got more might, and he is supposed to be acting and behaving in the same way. Musa alayhi salam has come to Madian and he sees min dunihim ra'atayn tazudan, two women that are away from the rest of the crowd. They are away from the crowd. The rest of the shepherds, they are taking their water supply, whatever they require, and they are moving on. So wajada min dunihim ra'atayn tazudan. So besides the rest of the crowd, he sees these two women. They are trying to keep back their flocks, that their flocks may not get mixed up into the other animals. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. So Musa alayhi salam, it is natural. You see, a Nabi, he looks at things differently. Although up till this point, he hasn't been appointed with Nubuwat, but the Nabi is blessed with these type of qualities, with these qualities that I must be kind to the servants of Allah Ta'ala. They're all his, and Allah Ta'ala wants me to be loving and caring towards them. On the one end where he saw that oppression, he went and punched the person that he felt that was the oppressor. فَقَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. He went and punched him and he finished him up. Right? So that is now natural in a Nabi. He can't resist. When he saw Khizr alayhi salam, and that Khizr alayhi salam is killing the child, why are you killing this child? And why do you scuttle this boat? Why do you do this? So anything that is not right, is not on, Musa alayhi salam is objecting straight away. That is natural in a Nabi. He can't hold himself. If anything is wrong, then he will definitely put it right. He can't see anything going wrong. Similarly, he can't see any injustice. He can't see any type of unkindness going on. So a Nabi is born with that type of sifat. He is born with that type of qualities. He wants to see justice. He wants to seek compassion. He wants to see love. He wants to see all these things. And if he sees anything going the other way around, he'll try his best to stop it, to correct it. So he comes here to Madian and he sees this all going on here. See, everybody's taking their water supplies and they're moving on. These two women, they are on the side, they're not taking the water supply. Why? مَا خَطْبُكُمْ. What's your problem? قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَى. Then these two women say that we cannot allow our flocks to drink the water until the shepherds have gone. The rest of the shepherds have gone, then will we allow our animals to take the water. Because if we're going to allow our animals to drink the water with the rest of the sheep or the rest of the animals, obviously we're going to mix up and we're going to be mixing up with the men there. It's not going to be right for us. Our animals are all mixed up. We're trying to grab this animal here, that sheep or that goat. We're trying to separate it from the flock. So inevitably we're going to mix up with the crowd. So we can't do this. So we'll have to wait for the rest of the shepherds to take their herds and move away, then will we go and take our share. Okay. So Musa alayhi salam understood now, he must have understood that these women are coming from a respectable background, that they're not like any ordinary woman. Any ordinary woman who has mixed up with the crowd, here they are separate. They are separate. They have separated themselves. See, in this three or four verses of the Quran, you can see the type of haya and sharam, the type of modesty and shame a woman needs to have. The one thing they are showing here, لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء. Number one. Number two, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ مُرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُوبَانَ. They see these two women are all separate, they are totally away from the rest of the crowd. Can you see shame and modesty? They're not supposed to be mixing up. Do you see? They're not supposed to be mixing up, they're separate from the crowd. They're not mixing up. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا قَالَ نَتَانَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَى. The third aspect of that modesty is, they say, وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. This is also an aspect of their modesty. What they're actually saying, that we're supposed to be sitting at home, right? But circumstances has forced us out of the house. Our father is old, he's aged, he can't manage it. So the chores of the house has to carry on, and these circumstances have forced us out of the house. See? When there is no circumstances, the husband is he's earning well, what's the need for her to go out? Is there a need for her to go out? Husband is a lawyer and the wife is a doctor, and both see the need to go out. How much they bringing both of them? I have one figure of 150,000 monthly they bring, both of them bringing in the house. What is the need for you to go out? Here these women are showing the need for them. Circumstances have pushed them out of the house. They can't manage things at the house. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. There are so many people living in the house. My father is there, perhaps my mother is there, there may be other people in the house, small dependents. Now how are we to carry out the chores of the house? How are we to manage the needs of the house? There's no other way. So we are pushed to go out. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. Right? Can you see the third aspect of haya? Now she goes home and she comes back. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِيَ الْأَسْتِحْيَا. The Quran is building us to understand. The Quran is building our mind to understand. And look, I admire these qualities of modesty in this woman. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِيَ الْأَسْتِحْيَا. Her father has instructed her, so she has to come. But for her to go and confront a man, she doesn't do it boldly. جَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. It's the father's instruction. I have got no other choice but to go. Father is calling you. What else? But the Quran is saying the manner and the style that she comes. She comes as though she comes on the train of modesty. With the wind of modesty she's coming. She's not coming openly, proudly, and you know, very open about herself. Very bashful, very modest, and very shamefully she's coming. She's coming with a lot of shame. فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمْ وَتَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. So if you look into these verses, you'll find about four or five indications to indicate the type of woman she was. Bashful, shame, haya. The Quran is speaking in praise of this woman. It is also showing what is the maqam and the position of a woman. Where does a woman belong? If that woman is going to be removed from her position, there's going to be trouble. This is a position that the Quran and the Hadith has given her. This is your position. But now you're going to remove, you're going to come out from that position, you're going to stop that position, then there's going to be problems. The driver or the captain supposed to be on the steering, right? He's supposed to be on the wheel. Now he takes one small child and places him on the wheel. What's going to happen? There's going to be problems. Right? The father or the adult, the one that is mature and understanding, he's supposed to be supplementing the income for the house. And he's supposed to be calling the decisions in the house. He says, no, now my small child, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, he's very bubbly. Let him make the decisions. What's going to happen to that house? There's going to be problems in the house. So there are procedures that we follow in running our affairs, running anything, we follow a procedure. The same with this world and the administration of the world, there is a procedure. You follow the procedure, everything will be conforming to you. You become Allah Ta'ala's falak tumara, zameen tumhari, asama tumhari. The skies will be yours, the planets will be yours, the earth will be yours, everything is yours. But first you subject yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fail to subject yourself and you are worried why others are not subjecting themselves to you. Your friends are not listening to you. Your workers are not listening to you. Things are not working out for you. But you fail to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you fail to listen to Allah ta'ala, then how do you expect things to work out for you? So now Musa alayhi salam is wanting to know from these people why they behave like this. But I'm showing you here in between that it is a natural trait of a Nabi that he wants to help. He doesn't want to remain still in a situation of injustice where he sees someone that is needy, then he can't contain himself. He can't contain himself. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الزِّلْ. So now Musa alayhi salam sees this woman in a state, in a condition where they can't help themselves. Poor little woman, and they can't help themselves. So there's nobody there for them. Imagine now, look at the, just try and picture this whole scene. All those shepherds came, they saw this woman on one side, nobody offered the help. This Nabi is here, he's not yet divinely appointed, but he's got that type of tabiat, that his tabiat forces him that, no, you must help. Now he's a foreigner, he's a stranger to the place. He's got no house, no dwelling. See? And he can't expect any remuneration from this woman, nothing. See, like, I want to do you a favor, and I got something in my mind that maybe I will see you right and you will see me right afterwards. See? There's nothing in his mind, absolutely nothing. No job for pals, no, you know, remuneration, nothing, absolutely nothing. But the fact that these women are in a state of desperation, they got nobody. So, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. You understand from this also, that when people are poor, weak, unable, they can't manage their affairs, then those that have been blessed with some qualities, they need to assist them, whether it's in intelligence, it is in money, in the form of money, in the form of position, whatever it is. But it is the duty of that person that is stronger to help his brother that is weaker. See? Otherwise, that is like an animal, trait of an animal. One animal is dying here, the other is all grazing. No worry, no concern in the world. That one is dying, this one is grazing, they're not worried. Not worried. The hearts have gone so hard. See? So men are expected to behave totally differently. See? They know that if today things are working out for me, tomorrow it may work out for the other person. Like I need to be good to him, tomorrow he may be good towards me. Allah Ta'ala will today I am inspired to help him, tomorrow Allah Ta'ala will inspire his heart to help me. See? So this is how the world operates. Now, if I don't consider all these facts here, I think in isolation, no, I don't need to know all these things. It's not my duty. They must do it. They must realize. They must understand. And now, I have that type of attitude. Allah Ta'ala grants you of respite for a few days. We're going to see how far you're going to go. Just now, we'll change things around. We'll turn things around just now. So, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. Musa alayhi salam provides them that water. So, what I'm showing here is how we need to look at this world. What should be our outlook? How do we look at the, how? What is our outlook of the world? The outlook must be that there is someone in control. He has given someone something more, someone something less, and he is going to watch. He is watching all the time. When I have made this distribution. قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We have made that division. We have made that distribution. So, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. But overall, Allah Ta'ala is going to observe, how are you going to conduct yourself with that little bit of superior position, superior in wealth, superior in power, in influence, whatever it is, how are you going to conduct yourself? Subhanallah gives an example here. That the Muslim is supposed to be like the dog that's got the collar, you see. The dog that's got that collar, it has the sense of security. It has the secure sense of belonging. It has the sense of protection. That collar indicates that it's got some security, some position, it belongs somewhere. It's got some type of sanctuary, some type of place where it can see all its needs and requirements. Right? It knows that I've got a home. And others also see it, they will also respect it. Now this dog here belongs to so and so. From the collar you identify, it's like the number plate. You identify it. Oh, I can't interfere with this dog, it belongs to him. In itself also, it's got a sense of respect, that I belong to this person here and people will respect me. I see all my needs, I see my needs and my requirements being fulfilled by him. So it's got a sense of belonging, it's got a sense of security, it's got a sense of respect. People look at it also with respect. Right. Do you see? And that dog that doesn't have that collar, right? It doesn't have a sense of security. Today, I started off the day here, tomorrow I don't know where I will end up the day. Where I'm going to get my bone, where I'm going to get my needs for the day, I don't know. Where I'm going to sleep tonight, I don't know. I'm running around the street from one pillar to the other, but I don't know where I belong to, where I'm going to get my food from. in the condition, in a state of emergency, we must run to, I got some problem, someone is attacking me, what do I do, where do I go to? It doesn't have that strength, it doesn't have that morale. And nobody fears it. The children will play with it, children will throw stones at it, and then I think it runs away. It doesn't have the strength, it doesn't have that morale of security, the feeling of security, feeling of belonging, feeling of any type of sanctuary that it's got, no feeling. Poor thing is running from one side to the other, stray dog, no place to go, no place for sanctuary, no refuge, no belonging, no type of security, no type of protection. So that Muslim who has got that collar of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala around his neck, see? The collar of obedience around his neck, then he's got a feeling of security, he belongs to someone. His morning starts off with a secure frame of mind. He belongs somewhere. He knows there is an end, there is a beginning, there is an end. There is a security for me, there is a place for me to go at the time of emergency and problems, difficulties. See? So that Muslim needs to live in that manner. That I am not free, I have got that collar of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, the collar of Allah Ta'ala around my neck. And I just remain like this. In the morning I know I have to go here, retire here. In the evening I know I have to retire. For my meals I know where I have to retire, where I have to go to. I've got a little bit of freedom, but I need to understand where I retire to, where I belong to, where's my security, where's my meals. I've got someone above me, that I need to listen to that person. This caller means that I belong to this person and I need to listen to him. Whether it's small or big, whether he shouts me or he doesn't shout me, but I need to listen to him. He doesn't want this of me, I need to listen. He wants this from me, I need to listen. Whether I like it or I don't like it, but I need to listen. So as long as that Muslim has got that collar of Allah Ta'ala around his neck, then everything is going to work out. But the moment he feels, no, I am free, I can do as I want, I can decide my own things, then actually he has removed that collar from his neck. And now he's hiding for disaster, problems, problems upon problems, insecurity, fear, what's going to happen, kya hoga. That question will be troubling him all the time, what's going to happen. Then he's going to run to an insurance, running to a bank, running to this place, running for that place, for security. But when he hasn't got that collar of Allah Ta'ala around his neck, that insurance also is none the better, the bank is also none the better. Can't give him the security. When itself it doesn't have security, when itself it is not secure, then how it can secure you? The one who's got some security can secure you. But he doesn't have the security, how can it secure you? So the only resort is turn to Allah Ta'ala, turn to him. You tie that collar of Allah Ta'ala around your neck and you see you'll find security, you'll find the peace, the type of harmony, the type of calmness that you need, you will find it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.